now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Shout Out.
He's Andy Shilton and I'm Steph Barnett, and today on the show, the shirtless violinist.
Ivan's been chatting to a very talented violinist over in the USA.
And News Extra.
It's our look at your most talked about news stories, but in a little bit more depth.
All that and more in the next hour.
Right here on Shout Out. Hello, one and all.
Hello.
That's really off-putting.
What?
Well, you know that
something's flashing at you
at home.
I thought you'd be used to that.
The on-air light's been a bit broken. I put one of them LED bulbs in it, but it doesn't like it. It keeps flashing all over the places. But it's right above your head. It's like, hello, Tara.
Perfect.
Flashy red head.
It's all right. I'm used to red.
The light is no different to when you're swinging your handbag on the corner of Park Street every Friday.
That's not very nice to say that to Tara.
Who am I looking at?
No one can see you.
Yes, they can. We got two-way microphones. They're magic.
Anyway, hello everyone. How are we all?
All right, thank you.
Yeah. And how are you, Your Highness?
I'm fine, thank you. Yes.
Yes. This is nice to have been to you in a while.
Am I sat on a commode?
I don't know. Is it?
I just wondered. Just wondering. The way you were looking me up and down.
Do you own a commode?
No, do you?
No.
You've still got a potty under the bed, haven't you? One of those China ones.
Oh, I remember those when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
I can remember outside loos.
I couldn't reach the seat, so, yeah.
Our house did originally have an outside loo, but the people before us modernised it and brought it in. I can't imagine that. But you're right, it was, didn't you? In the days of old, your toilet was in an outhouse outside.
Not too old. My grandparents. careful. I'm sat on the same side of the desk now.
On a commode, yeah.
Yes, on a commode. Yes, I have the seat down, folks. It's okay.
There'll be youngsters listening going, what the hell's a commode?
Yeah, portable toilet.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So they still use them in hospitals, I think, don't they? So
yeah,
and Steph's house.
Yeah,
yes, mine's on wheels
with the Zimmer frame.
Yeah, it's good bearings on it.
Do you know, the one thing I never ever thought I would talk about on Shout Out is a commode.
It's rainbow coloured, just so we can associate it with the subject matter of the show.
You're giving people all kinds of visions now. It's just like, yeah.
It's that older generation that's coming through. There's lots of news on that recently, isn't there?
About what, commodes?
No, about older people, older LGBT people going into...
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've been doing some of the NHS.
I'm doing it, working with the BBC at the moment on that one.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So I think we'd be broadcasting that in.
You're going into old people's.
I might not have to work with the. Yeah, after working with the BBC, I expect it will be a different world over there.
Anyway, we've got some fun stuff coming on the show today. Ivan's been reporting from abroad again.
And there's only one reason why Ivan interviewed that man. Have you seen his bod?
No, I haven't. Is the picture on our website?
It's on our Twitter feed, go Twitterpate.
And then later on, Terry's going to be in and we're going to be talking about some of your news stories in a bit more depth in our little news extra.
Yes, unfortunately that's going to be some deep subject matter, especially about the young 9-year-old who committed suicide in Denver.
Yes, I thought that was Colorado, horrible. That really, really kind of touched me, that story.
Yeah, I think it did for most sensible and...
human people?
Well, people who think about others.
Mm. Sure. I mean, 9 years old, actually. Yeah.
Well, no.
Anyway, we'll talk about it a little bit later on. Yeah. In the meantime, though, do we have some events?
I have got
a
single whole big, huge event.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough. Here we go. Uh, So, Outshout, our pick of the best events coming up this week with the lovely Tara.
Well, I've gone for my kind of own industry in this one. So, we've got Bristol Open Doors coming up.
Have we?
Yeah, yeah. So,
I've not made one yet. Don't tell me it's next week.
No, it's the 14th to 16th of September. So, you've now got about two weeks to prepare and decide what you want to go and see. So,
I think it's bigger every year, doesn't
it? It's huge. I think 70 plus places to visit. And you need to be going on this website, which is a bristolopendoors.org.uk, which is part of the Architect Centre.
You'll have to explain what it is, I guess.
What it is is they open up buildings that you might not otherwise get into.
You can see Steffi's garage.
Well, I don't think anyone can get in there.
That's true. That is absolutely true. The door will not open.
So I'll give you examples. So there's you can go to
the Clifton Railway is often a good one.
Yeah, so there's for example, Avonmouth Asphalt Plant, if you want to see what asphalt is. Bristol Waste Company open doors. There's a design for Urban Hood Children, so they can work out how cities get designed. So it's one of those that you got to kind of book in advance for your children to go to. So if you want to get rid of your kids for a couple of hours.
That sounds interesting as well.
Yeah, and then there is the floating architecture. So you can go on one of those boards that you stand on, paddle boards. And you can see the whole of Bristol from the. So you can see Clifton Woods and all the rest of it, and you'll get a talk about the architecture as you float around the harbour.
Is that when they open up the gridding underneath the centre?
No,
because the river goes underneath.
But they will open up the caverns, Redcliffe, where they used to store stuff.
I think it's a special guided tour. You can't just go for a wander because you can get lost in there.
So what we've got is we've also got Clifton Cathedral, the Clifton Club, Bristol Old Vic. There's a citizen-led approach to development, so it's about eco houses. So you can go and see an eco house, see how it's built, and then that particular one, it's straw bale construction. So
really?
You can see how that.
Interesting.
So it's passive house, and so that's all about low energy, how you can actually produce a house so that you can be paying as little as £30 a month for your electricity and
heating. Is that straw outside walls?
It's the internal. There's an internalised straw bale with a timber frame around it, and you have a cladding system beyond, and you have to make it airtight and all the rest of it. So you can go and have a look and see what technology is going, and it's all about a lot of it's commercial buildings, so actually they're very different from your normal house, there's Richmond buildings. The one I want to go to is the Bristol Temple Meads station, to be honest. I want to have a wander around it, see what's actually, you know, because you're always dashing through there to catch a train, you never actually get time to actually sit down and have a look around there. The Bottle Yard Studio. There's also a Malego Greenway Berry Maze.
There's loads.
So if you go, so the website, as I was going to say, was bristolopendoors.org.uk. So on there, they've got a map. So if you can click on the map, it then gives you a whole idea of where you want to go around and just replan your weekend. I mean, that's what to do. A lot of these are walking distance in the city centre, so you can plan your whole day and evening. You know,
it's very, very popular.
Yeah, and then there are some that are slightly further out of town, but you know, it's just fantastic. So there's like a walking wharf where you get to meet the architects who designed it, and they're going to walk you around and explain how they came about the design. So it just really makes buildings more human, to be honest.
Yeah. I did a backlot tour of Walt Disney World once and saw where they put all the poo.
Poo?
Poo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh.
No. No.
Okay. Right. Okay.
No, it's really interesting. All their hotels.
You're telling me poo is interesting.
It's a vacuum system on all their hotels on their property, so everything gets sucked away from the loo. So you've got to be careful.
Okay.
And then they dry it, and there's like these big barns full of all the holiday makers' poop. And then they dry it, and then they sell it.
Fertiliser.
Yes.
Absolutely. Huh? So the other one is Clifton Suspension Bridge.
You can't do that as part of Open Doors Day.
No.
That's my knowledge.
Yeah. No. Can we get back on track?
Sorry,
Clifton Suspension Bridge is open, and that's the other one that's really interesting. You can actually get, if you book in advance, you can go down and actually see the vaults underneath that they only discovered.
It was only five, six years ago,
they discovered that actually they're actually hollow inside.
Yeah. Well, one's honeycomb, isn't it?
You know,
one side's honeycomb and one side's quite different.
Yeah, so you can go in. And you
but it's really weird. Have you ever looked? They aren't identical.
No.
The what do they call them? Turrets? The bits that hold it up?
Towers.
On one side, it's got like almost like a a kind of like window cutting out of it, and the other side hasn't.
Oh, right, okay.
And, but you always look at it and you think it's identical, and they're really not.
Yeah, so the chain, for example, on this suspension bridge is actually second hand. It isn't new, it's taken from another bridge and used in Clifton Suspension Bridge.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, and the person that designed it, we all attribute it to Isenberg, Kingdom of Benel.
Yeah.
But actually.
And he wanted to put.
It was steel columns.
When he was going to put what they called onyx. I want to say onyx. They're kind of like lion-looking thing. They were supposed to, like the Egyptian-style thing, and they were supposed to, have one on top of each other. But he died before they finished the bridge.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even started before he died. So actually designed it. He won the award, and then they mothballed it. And then they started it after he died. And actually, so the design was actually then modified by various other engineers. So it's not actually purely his design.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Open Doors Day, well worth doing. So thank you, Tara.
Okay, no problem, thank you.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, there we go. Royal, I do like that. That's a nice song, that one, isn't it? So, hello, Miss Matthew.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm Mr. Terry.
Yeah. Hello.
Sounds a bit odd to get that way around, actually, doesn't it?
Are you two
Open Doors Days?
When I'm in Bristol, yes. I was just saying to Tara off air, I volunteer for a venue, and it's very difficult for volunteers to actually go and visit the other venues. So we need a Doors Open Day for Doors Open Day volunteers. I don't know who would run it. I don't know that. The general public could be carnage, couldn't it?
It is fun, though, isn't it?
It's great, it's great. Yeah. You see all those buildings that you go past, you don't normally get a chance to see.
Cool. That's like the bell, isn't it? Great George.
And lots of towers are open. So I rotate between churches and the Wills Tower and the cathedral just to get as many public in behind the scenes.
Are you still doing your bell ringing? Do you get much of a chance these days?
How can you become a campanologist and give it
me
up?
On air? That's right. I was just appalling behaviour. I was a closeted bell ringer, and now you've outed me. It's just
I didn't realise you were ashamed of it. I'm so sorry.
I tell you what. It's so much easier coming out about your sexuality than it is about ringing.
I'm not going to comment because I get in trouble. Shall we get some news headlines?
Of course.
Quick.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday the 30th of August.
Amid reports of increased anti-Semitism and Islamophobia and a spike in anti-LGBT hate crimes, gay and trans political activists are warning institutions such as gay bars, community centres, mosques and synagogues to be vigilant of the extreme political right wing, which has become increasingly emboldened. In London, Gays the Word bookstore was vandalised in early 2018 in a politically motivated hate crime, and this was recently followed by an attack on a bookshop called Bookmarks, a leftist centre bookstore which sold black and gay literature, trade union gifts and other items. The attack, which took place in broad daylight by Nazi thugs, garnered widespread condemnation.
A Facebook group for gay guys in Toronto has surprised many in the community by proclaiming that it is for cisgender gay men only, that is, males who consider themselves exclusively homosexual from birth and who were born with a penis. In other words, the group's moderator, David Bennett, clarified, it is not for lesbians nor bisexual people and not for transgender men. This exclusivity is somewhat unusual amongst homosexual male groups, unlike a subgroup within the radical feminist movement, which has been vocal in its opposition to trans women. There has been little organised dislike for transgender men amongst gay males. Indeed, some gay male magazines have put trans guys on the front cover, and there is even a gay male porn star. A report from the campaign site Back to Stonewall did not speculate on the reasons why Mr. Bennett had taken this line.
Madcap Japanese political liability Sugita, whose rants about homosexuality have garnered attention but also widespread condemnation, has faced a protest outside her office as activists make the connections that really build society. Disabled action groups joined forces with LGBT people to protest against Sugita's proclamations because the MP had made the case that groups who do not necessarily reproduce to make a new generation of obedient workers did not deserve any public money. This affects some members of the disabled community as well, and therefore a common alliance has been formed.
Now, who would deface the front of the building occupied by the long-running gay charity Stonewall, established nearly 30 years ago? Homophobic extremists, you might guess. And what group would draw penises outside the offices of the Guardian newspaper, a publication known for its liberalism and its championing of gay, minority and disabled rights? Teenage boys, perhaps? Or more sinisterly, far-right wingers who dislike democracy? Well, you'd be wrong in both these cases, because a group of lesbian feminists who don't like trans people very much, have claimed responsibility. This group call themselves TERFs, which stands for Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminists, and they follow a brand of radical feminist thought that emerged in the 70s, but has been mostly fringe to the mainstream lesbian experience. Approached by Pink News for comment, a group calling itself Get the L Out called for lesbians nationwide to attack gay institutions and media. Trans campaigners, however, struck a more measured pose, telling the gay press that the vandalism of Stonewall and Guardian offices with rude pictures would probably lose the trans exclusionary cause what little support remained for them within the wider LGBT movement.
The arts magazine Crack strikes a very queer note in its August issue with a lengthy interview featuring Munro Bergdorf, activist and philosopher for black queer people and unapologetic in her spirituality and trans status. Also in the magazine is a page on Jake Shears, the former frontman of Scissor Sisters, whose memoirs of a life on the gay club scene have recently been published. Crack magazine can be found in alternative record shops and community centres, bookshops and libraries, and it's free of charge.
And finally, the Outside Project is an exciting new initiative that works closely alongside the LGBT housing advice service Stonewall Housing and the Albert Kennedy Trust, which provides foster homes for young gay and trans people. The project is an intervention aimed at meeting the needs of queer people affected by homelessness, and particularly those that are at risk of rough sleeping on the streets of London. Now, we know that many reports have suggested that a significant number of the capital's homeless are LGBTQ, but many mainstream services are not geared for the needs of gay or trans people. This might be because of the macho attitudes of other rough sleepers or the religious ethos of several existing homelessness shelter providers. So the Outside Project aims to bridge the gap. Gaystar News recently profiled this innovative new initiative, so pop along to our website for a link to see how you can pledge your support.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Matthew Tosh.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
And that's Pink. And What About Us? I like that song. It's quite an emotional song, that one, actually.
It's quite a political song as well, actually, yeah. If you listen to the lyrics.
So now, Terry, how do you like your violinists?
Well, I know what's coming up, so I'd say. I've seen the pictures online. I was saying to Matthew earlier on, that was a very appealing picture of a violinist.
That's put a string to your bow, isn't it?
we have got one of the songs that he performs coming up after this, but this is Ivan talking to the shirtless violinist.
On the line with me now is Matthew Olszewski, otherwise known as the shirtless violinist, all the way from Seattle in Washington State. Hello, Matthew. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you, Ivan, so much for having me on your show.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure. I can't wait to have a chat with you about your shirtlessness. But before we get to that, you're obviously an accomplished violinist. How long have you been playing for?
Since the age of 3 years old. So as far as I'm concerned, I've been playing my entire life because I don't remember being three. I don't even remember starting. I just remember violin was always a part of my life.
So it's almost like part of your body now, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. It really does feel like an extension of me.
And did you study violin professionally? I mean, it certainly sounds like it.
I did. You know, I had very dedicated parents who made sure, you know, all the way through that I was not only going to lessons every week, but also practicing very diligently at home, even when I didn't want to. And that was just part of my upbringing. My brother and sister also played violin. So it was like growing up in a music conservatory.
Where did the shirtlessness come in and why? How did that happen?
That's the best question. I had always wanted to make music videos. I lived in the classical world. I wore a bow tie, a cummerbund, tails to every concert I played at. I really appreciate the classical world. I love all those experiences. They were really wonderful. But I started to see on YouTube classical musicians kind of crossing over and doing different things. And I really love the creativity. As they brought beautiful, stunning visuals combined with music, and they were just doing fun things to introduce classical music and classical instruments to a new crowd. It was something I always wanted to do, but didn't really have someone to operate the camera, someone else who shared that vision, because it was going to take more than just me. And then I met my partner, Paul. 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, and after a couple of dates, we were talking together. He was talking about his dreams and aspirations. I was talking about mine, and I mentioned wanting to make music videos. And he said, "Wow, well, one of my dreams since childhood was to direct and edit movies." But he said he had to give that up because at the age of 16, he was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, which is an eye disease where he's gradually losing his sight. So he's in the process of going completely blind.
Wow.
So he gave up on that dream. And I said, "Well, hey, let's just make a music video. Let's do this." And he was completely on board. We were going on a trip, so we decided we'll just stop anywhere there's a beautiful view and we'll just film. And so we did that. We put that one music video out on our YouTube channel. It had one video. Well, I should back up and say, when we got to the first place to film, Paul said, "You should take off your shirt while we film here because you need an edge. Like, there's so many violinists out there, and there's so many violinists already on YouTube. You need something that's going to make people click.
You got to get a gimmick. Get a gimmick. Yeah. That's it, right?
Something different." And I looked around to make sure there was no one else there because I, at that point, was extremely self-conscious. I grew up in a very conservative home. I didn't really take my shirt off. I went to the gym a lot, but I didn't take my shirt off in public. So there was no one else around, so I agreed to, and that kind of began the whole thing. And we put that one video out there, and we got an article written about it, and about like 20,000 views for this YouTube channel that was brand new. No one knew about us, and so we thought, "Oh wow, okay, this got some attention. Someone even wrote about us." And so we did what anybody would do. We made another one, and that got some more views and a couple of articles written about it. So we did another one, and that just kind of started this little pattern of doing one, and then people liked it and people wrote about it. So we did another one, and we really had no intention past making one at the beginning.
This time period we're talking about, it's just a couple of a year or two, is that right?
Yeah, exactly 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we put out the first music video.
Now, listen, classical music does have a reputation of being a little bit stuffy, doesn't it? So do you think, have you made classical music sexy? Are you drawing people in that way, you think?
I am. You know, one of my fans put it really, really well when she said, "I came for the abs, but I stayed for the music." And I think, you know, I think, and I hear so many times a day from so many people who say, "Wow, I never knew I liked the violin. I love the violin. I love the sound. I've never really paid attention to it." So I know that the gimmick of being shirtless is causing people to actually give the violin their time.
Yeah, and actually, you know, people that might not have even listened to classical music before, there's suddenly now their ears are perking up, and they're getting involved with it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have released two classical songs. I did Chartus by Vittorio Monti and Nessun Dorma more recently. And, you know, my goal is to sprinkle in classical music so that the fans that I already have will start to get exposed, you know, between the pop and the Broadway and the soundtrack.
I was going to say, because you do perform a lot of different genres, don't you? And collaborations too. I noticed you I think it's just literally a couple of months ago, did a collab with singer-songwriter Tom Goss.
Yes.
He's a lovely bloke.
Yeah, I did.
I've interviewed him before. He's a lovely chap.
Oh, he's so nice. We had so much fun doing that.
Let me ask you about another thing that you've been doing, because you've been retelling, you've already mentioned your partner, you've been retelling Disney fairy tales and love stories with same-sex couples, bit of drag thrown in there, I noticed as well. That sounds like a lot of fun. Was Paul involved actually in the videos, or was he shooting behind the camera? I mean, what inspired you to do those love stories?
Well, you know, as we were beginning to plan out what we wanted to do, one of the things that came to both of our minds was to do some Disney music, because it's really beloved, really classic. And when we were planning to do Beauty and the Beast, we thought, well, why not do a little story? I mean, it's a classic story. Everybody knows it. So at first we thought, well, let's get a beautiful girl to dance and she can be Belle. And we knew some dancers. And then we thought, well, that's a little ordinary. It's a little typical. What can we do that's a little different? And then Paul said, well, why don't we get a drag queen? Maybe one who specializes in Disney to play the part and she can dance. And we had a little trouble finding a drag queen. So finally, about a week before, Paul said, okay, well, I'll just do it. I've never done drag, but I'll do it. We'll find someone else to film. And so he did his first ever drag for that video. And we decided, okay, now since Paul's going to be in it, let's put our own twist on it. Let's make this story about representation for our relationship, for our community. We've all grown up seeing heterosexual couples on this big screen. Let's put our own gay twist on it. So that day, our cameraman actually couldn't make it. So we had a friend of a friend operate the camera. She'd never operated that equipment before. It was a bit of a disaster on set, but it was the first video that for us really went viral. So we realized we had touched upon something that we didn't realize would be so well received, and that is presenting two men in this love story.
And you've done several, including The Little Mermaid, where you're actually playing the violin on a rock dressed as a merman, I should say, shouldn't I?
Yeah, that was our second Disney fairy tale. Paul is in that as well. He's the prince. And then more recently we did Cinderella, where he was in drag. Those were the three Disney ones we did. And then we did one called A Perfect Gay Love Story. We did Ed Sheeran's Perfect, not the duet version. I have two versions of it out there, the duet version with Tom Goss, which is very beautiful, and then the regular version. And we just have Paul and I, it's a little texting story. We're kind of texting each other back and forth. And that was our first time just to create our own original story. And that actually, it was our first video to pass 500,000. I think today it's up to 650,000. So we're really excited about how well received these are. In fact, we're going to film a video along that line. So perfect. This will either be a sequel or prequel, or it'll be somehow related to
that. Well, that was my next question. Have you got any other projects in the pipeline? But you've just answered that. Is that like a video every month you're putting out?
Yeah. You know, one of the things we discovered as we were kind of making a video and it was being well received, and we just make one more. And our plan was always just one more and then one more. And then finally, we realized that these were costing a lot. We were actually starting to hire people to help us, because Paul, being legally blind, couldn't always operate the camera that well. I mean, he couldn't always even see the screen.
Right.
And so we thought, let's get a better solution. Paul's really good at directing. Let's get some people to help us out. They were getting very expensive. So we started in January a Patreon website, which allows people to pledge, you know, $5 a month or however much they want. And so we discovered instantly that we had this base of people that wanted to pay for these videos to be produced once a month. So thanks to all of our supporters, we now currently produce one video a month.
So, Matthew, have you got any plans coming over to UK at all?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because I was actually over in Birmingham in March. The Town Hall Symphony Hall reached out to me out of the blue and said, "We love your music videos. We want to fly you over to perform in our beautiful hall, record a music video. You pick the song. We'll take care of all the rest." Town Hall Symphony Hall flew me over. We filmed for an entire day in their beautiful hall. And then they put that video up on all their social media. It's up on my channel. And then they, for Birmingham Pride, they got a giant video screen truck, turned it into a float, and drove it down the streets during Pride with that video, Chartists, playing on loop through the whole thing. I wasn't able to be over for Pride, but they sent me pictures and videos of my shirtlessness on a giant screen rolling down through the Pride Parade. So that was really a surreal experience. You know, and I was really honored to be contacted by the classical community, and they saw me as a way to kind of bridge the gap between younger people, the LGBT community, and classical music.
Well, that's an incredible achievement, Matthew, that you've got so many people who are interested in your art and what you're doing, and especially with Paul with his visual impairment as well, and how well and how beautiful those videos that you've made up until now. Now, before I let you go, though, where can people find out more about you and your music?
So Shirtless Violinist on YouTube, Shirtless Violinist on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can listen to all of my music on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Google Play, Amazon, anywhere. There's music downloads or streamings. My collection is up there.
Matthew Olszewski, you are just about everywhere. The Shirtless Violinist, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Ivan.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. That's the Shirtless Violinist and Beauty and the Beast. Lovely, that, isn't it?
That is absolutely beautiful. There was...
You spoke over it, Andy. That's it's a Radio 4, Radio 3 stuff. You don't talk, and you've got to leave 5 seconds gap. You have tumbleweed moments.
Sorry.
You don't talk over beautiful pieces like that.
It's all right, there's Phil rustling in the background.
Committed a cardinal sin there.
No, that was really beautiful. I really enjoyed that.
So I'm now full of cake as well. Lovely cake.
Yes, thank you, Phil. We've been
it's Phil's, fed Phil's, up. Phil for years has followed us with the country show. It's been many years now, isn't it? And it's his last ever one following us after today, which is a...
End of an era.
It is an end of an era.
So he brought us all in cake, so we were stuffing ourselves with cakes listening to the violinist.
Cakes which say country music on which is absolutely fabulous.
Isn't it?
We should be tweeting a photo within the next few minutes.
Okay, yes. Matthew's on it.
Anyway, this is our news extra bit, where we take some of the stories that have been in the press recently, especially the ones that are very popular with you guys, and talk about them in a bit more depth, don't we, Terry?
It is. We have a bit of a roundtable discussion. We were hoping, incidentally, tonight, I think it was originally advertised, to do our book review. We're going to do that in a couple of weeks' time. We had some technical issues. So instead, tonight, we're going to talk about issues that have been in the news. And the linking theme is about the protection of vulnerable youth, particularly LGBT youth. These days, we're much more aware of child protection generally. But there's been much in the news recently about self-harm, the statistics about the number of young people attempting suicide, the problems of bullying at school, and the way in which the internet has impacted on all of this sort of stuff. Incidentally, it's all made more complicated by very recent reports on the gay media that suggests that some professional hate groups and fundamentalist churches have been using Facebook and YouTube advertising functions to target LGBT youth or people that are accessing LGBT videos and so on and so forth with their sort of gay cure messages, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's maybe an issue for another day. But we thought we'd start tonight by acknowledging that there's a very sad story from the United States, Denver, which is in Colorado, where a 9-year-old boy called Jamel Miles came out this summer, but was so mercilessly bullied for it by his classmates, that he unfortunately took his own life, which is, I think it's horrific. Quite rare for somebody that young to take their own life generally. But
and this is one I really sort of came across the newswires we shout at, and I've never actually read a headline and been so shocked by something in a long, long time. I mean, you know, we've had some horrible events in the past, but 9 years old.
Yeah.
It beggars belief, doesn't it? I mean, the thing is, the natural thing for kids in schools is to bully, I guess. It was bullying when I was at school, and it wasn't just in the infants and junior years. It carried on right the way through.
And it goes into work as well.
Matthew, you've
well, having been a teacher, yes. Yeah. Any kind of difference, anything that somebody doesn't like or is envious of, there can be a whole multitude of reasons as to why somebody may turn to bullying, but there's no place for it. There's no place for it at all.
I think the other thing to remember, though, is sometimes people bully because actually they're hiding something in themselves as well. So I don't want to say that, you know, I know it's a bad thing, but also there's got to be a question about why people are bullying as well. Where's that come from? Is that part of their family dynamic? Is there something going on in their history as well? You know, I'm not for 1 minute saying it's acceptable.
Or, like you say, they're hiding something.
It took four days. The poor kid went to school for 4 days before he was bullied so much that he took his own life. Yeah. And to do that at the age of 9 years old, I mean, I don't know many 9-year-olds who'd know how to do that.
Yes. Yeah,
or how to deal with it. When you're 9 and you're suddenly faced with something like that, owning up that you're being bullied is a big step as well, and that's there is that the social pressures on people to feel that, well, if I'm being bullied, is there something wrong with me, or it's because I'm my sexuality. It's a real shame.
It's a shame that people carry through, isn't it? So I mean, my parents didn't find out I was bullied until I was 13-14. I'd been bullied for 5 years, you know. So
yeah, I was bullied at primary school quite a lot. I mean, The one thing it has done is it's gone international, this story, hasn't it? I mean, it's kind of exploded in a kind of you just shouldn't put up with bullying type thing. And, it has attracted a lot of attention from people like Ellen Page, the actress, as one example.
And,
and of course, it does then help get that message out. Now, it's very much after the fact, which, you know, it's just there's nothing you can do about it. But if it stops someone else from bullying,
from stopping killing themselves.
And it was featured this morning, I believe, on the Victoria Derbyshire programme over on BBC Radio 5 Live, where they actually interviewed the mother of Jamal, and she was saying that the school needs to do more. She said, "The school called me today and said they're going to work on suicide prevention, but I told them before we work on suicide prevention, we need to stop bullying." And I think that's the core of the situation. Another thing that occurred to me is that it shows how many young LGBT people know their identity much earlier than is often given credit for. I think especially by cisgender and heterosexual people, perhaps don't realise that many of us realised we were gay or trans or bisexual at a very young age. You know, I was certainly aware when I was possibly about 6 or 7.
Yeah, I was the same.
And I think that a lot of people you'd speak to, you know, going out in the community,
I didn't know what it was. It was not known, and of course it was so hidden in the real world anyway, because, you know, Section 28 was enforced, you weren't allowed to talk about it, schools, all those kind of things. So I had no idea what it was, and it wasn't until I looked back as an adult, I went, actually, I've kind of known that for a long time, haven't I?
But it's still there, isn't it? There's an assumption that cisgendered heteronormative is the default setting.
Yeah.
And it's just so wrong.
And you choose at some point. That's a bit that really annoys me. God, if I could choose it.
Yeah, I got, how can you tell if you're only 13? It's just like, well, how can you tell you're heterosexual at 13? Yeah. You know, it's, you know, you just turn the question round. It's easy enough to...
Or you can't make your mind up because you're bisexual.
That's the
annoying one.
So,
I mean, it throws a spanner in the works, really, when you've got the TERF saying, oh, it is a choice, your parents should be sanctioned for... And it's the 4 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, 4 years old. There's nobody's bringing a 4 year old up to think they're transgender. The parents aren't thinking about it. You certainly aren't thinking about it. You just know who you are.
Well, you were about four when you knew it.
Four, absolutely. Yeah. Really? Remember it vividly.
Yeah.
I think many trans people I've spoken to have similar recollections of knowing at that very early age they were gender nonconformist. And, you know, that they were what we now call transgender.
Yeah, and yeah. then when you go to school, it was all right until I started school. When I started school, then the bullying started, and partly from the teachers, not just the pupils.
I was going to say this education system does really depend on the head teacher and how they take and approach the whole concept of LGBTQ, you know, and whether they, because I've seen too many people being actually pushed out of the education system because it's easier to get rid of them than to solve the problem within the school
itself.
So I wonder if there's a bit of that goes on in these sort of things, you know.
I mean, the good news is that there is an effort, I think, by both the main political parties now is to make LGBT education or awareness education compulsory for schools. I think there's still an issue with faith schools, if I remember rightly. But
Matthew. Well, I was just going to say, just when I walk around, because I visit schools a lot, walking around, there's much more paraphernalia that's pro-LGBT and raising awareness visibly around the school. So you get that sense, and there's still work to be done, of course, and it's not in every school, but I'm seeing that a lot more compared to when I was teaching, which isn't that long ago.
Yeah, it's definitely getting better. I mean, we talk to people like just like us and like
we do,
and they're very proactive in schools and the like. Yeah. So, but going back to the story we were talking about, I'm just reading some of the excerpts from the interview on BBC Radio 5 with Victoria Derbyshire, the mother was saying that the school had called her that day and said that they were working on suicide prevention.
Yeah,
which sounds like it alienated her even more, because she then went on to say, I told them before we work on suicide prevention we need to stop bullying, because it's the bullying that's leading to the suicides. So even the response from the school was kind of the wrong way around.
I think that's very true, and that's part of a wider issue, which is about bullying in society and with the internet and so on. And
but it exists in every part of society, so that's the other thing. Does. It still works. It goes in work. People do it at work. I mean, it's just endemic. It's, you know, is it part of who we are as human beings?
But why do we bully? Why do we feel the need as a species to find the person who is a minority and pick on them?
I'm not making an excuse for it, but it often comes from an insecurity. And as Tara said earlier, that could be from all kinds of reasons: self-doubt, questioning, you feel threatened in society. You've got an insecurity. You need to feel that one-upance on some other person or other being.
Kick somebody that's below you.
Well, fingers crossed, the result from it is that it it improves things, certainly in that school, and hopefully, given the international visibility that the story has had.
It's got people talking.
It's got people talking a lot, I hope if as a result of that it stops someone else from doing the same thing, then that's the result, isn't it?
Just... I'm aware that we're sort of gradually moving short of time. As always, it's run away with us with the news review. Not a lighter story, but something which is perhaps more relevance of entertainment relevance for the LGBT community is still serious, in that the communist daily paper, The Morning Star, has reported that the Irish Republican Party, Sinn Féin, which incidentally has quite a strong gay rights platform, they've called for a boycott of next year's Eurovision Song Contest, which was won by Israel. And the article, basically the headline of the article reads, Sinn Féin is calling on the Irish government to boycott the 2019 Eurovision contest to highlight Israel's ongoing occupation of Palestine. And obviously there's an issue there. Now, I'm sure it's going to divide the LGBT movement and community, because several times...
Isn't it known as the Gay World Cup?
Well, Eurovision, you mean, yes. But I was going to say that several times in recent years, but you know, LGBT activists have been drawn into the ongoing debate about Israel's alleged gay friendliness and how far this excuses or pinkwashes, they call it, issues around Palestinian right to self-determination.
Historically, the IRA were actually, and I know Sinn Féin is not the IRA, but they were linked back when the Troubles were on. They used to get some of their arms from the Palestinians. So there has always been historically a link between IRA.
A good point to point out, yeah.
So that and like I've said, I know Sinn Féin aren't the IRA now. It's completely different. But they were. So there's still that link with the Palestinians and the Palestinian cause.
Obviously, they have. But it's just interesting to note. I mean, I'm sure LGBT groups and activists will be debating, you know, is it right to boycott the Eurovision? And, I mean, you know,
it was like the whole thing with Russia hosting the football, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was an issue, yeah.
But
do you punish a whole country? And like most countries, countries are split down the middle, left to right. Like the UK is with Brexit, Israel is also split down the middle politically. If you look at the numbers of votes either way for the left wing and the right wing parties.
That's a very good point.
Then so you're punishing half of Israel that also don't like that situation.
Well, perhaps all of Israel should be made to listen to the Eurovision. That might make him a bit...
Well, do you know, incidentally, that so strong in the Middle East is feeling over this is that in the past, when Jordan has been broadcasting the song contest, when the Israeli entry came on, they broadcast a test card instead because they didn't want anyone to vote for the Israeli entry. That actually happened in the 70s. So this thing goes back... goes back a very long way between those states, but... Anyway, thank you for another brilliant news review. We've been discussing some good topics.
Anyway, that's it for this week, but do check us out online.
Shoutoutradio.lgbt is the place to head to where you'll find out all about us, plus able to grab a podcast or two as well.
Next week I'm away, but Matthew will be here holding the fort, so do join us then. So will you miss me?
No.
We will.
Was that the answer? Sorry.
Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.